Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Start the new year with ButcherBox, 10 pounds of meat with their ultimate keto bundle. ButcherBox.com/herd, H-E-R-D. Eric Dickerson holds the record for the most rushing yards in a playoff game. This is an astounding number. You thought the picture of Andre the Giant was amazing. He rushed for 248 yards in a playoff game. If you were a team and ran for 250 yards, that means you just dominated the game. And Eric is joining us live, the Hall of Famer. Do you remember that game? What do you remember about that game?
Yes, I remember, because it was against the Cowboys, and I hated the Cowboys. And it was just it felt so good to give it to them and all my friends back in Texas watched. So most definitely do I remember it. I remember the one play I remember the most was the first play after half. I had a 62-yard touchdown, so that's the one that really sticks out to me.
You're the only kid I've ever known. You grew up in Dallas, you grew up in Texas, and you hated the Cowboys. Have you ever explained that? Why is that?
You know why? Because they always talked about the America. I hated that America's team thing. Yeah, America's team. I mean, that's not my team. So I became a Steeler fan because they used to beat the Cowboys. And I did like the Houston Oilers because they were in Houston, but I became a Steeler fan because they beat the Cowboys.
So let's talk about this. Derrick Henry, Tennessee, he just joined a list of 8 players to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. So Tennessee's a dangerous team. When you ran for 2,000 yards in a season like Derrick Henry, were you exhausted by the time the playoffs arrived?
No, I really wasn't. And I don't think he is either. You know, when the playoffs is a different level. When you get to the playoffs, you go into another gear, especially if you think that you have a chance to win. And I think they have a chance to win because Derrick Henry and the way they can run the football. The defense is not very good, but I felt good. The big thing is injuries, Colin. You know, how beat up are you? I wasn't beat up, and you watch Derrick Henry. I don't think he's beat up because, frankly, no one wants to tackle him. Everybody's afraid to hit him.
Now let's talk about this. I had Tony Gonzalez on yesterday, and he talks about this. He said, listen, the playoffs are different. Some guys shrink. And some guys are built for it. So you were in 6 different years you went to the playoffs. You tell me, did it feel different? Did the games feel different to you?
Almost definitely. I mean, the games felt you as fast as the National Football League, as fast as football is, when you get to the playoffs, it's even faster. I mean, it's more physical. Now you wonder, how can it be more physical? Because, I mean, people you're fighting for a spot. You're fighting for that ultimate trophy, that ultimate award, and that's the Super Bowl. So, for sure, it gets faster, quicker. And some guys can't play to it. I mean, they really just, it's too big of a stage. And, you know, I loved it. I really did love being in the playoffs. It was fun being in the playoffs. And I always say, you know, I think about my worst games. One of my worst games ever came in the playoffs, playing against the Washington Redskins. Had 3 fumbles. Darryl Green caught me from the back. I mean, that was my worst. That's my worst game to today in history. But you know, I love it in the playoffs.
Yeah. So the Rams take on Seattle. They just played a couple weeks ago, and they were in that game until the very end. Russell Wilson had a great final drive. That's why he's paid a lot of money. And when you play in the playoffs, Cleveland has to play Pittsburgh again, back to back. Your thoughts on the Rams facing Seattle again, and the idea that you face a division rival for a third time, Eric, it doesn't seem to me like you could do anything to fool them at this point.
You know, it's hard to beat a team twice. You know, that's why usually in the division, you have a tendency to split with that team unless you're just that much better. We've always had the Seattle Seahawks number to a sense, and they had ours too. I mean, as good as they were, when they were winning Super Bowls and getting into the playoffs and going deep into the playoffs, the Rams played them very well in the Jeff Fisher days, even though we couldn't score, but the defense was great. And it's still right now, defense is playing great. They know the Seahawks know us. I really believe that you're going to say upset. I'm looking for an upset in this game because we should have won that game up in Seattle. If it wasn't for, I really believe, the turnover, the pass that the Jared Goff threw, the interception, I don't know who he was throwing to instead of running the football, but if you take that out and we score, I think we win that football game because the defense in a different mindset. When you throw an interception or turnover, it puts your whole it deflates your football team. So me personally, I think we can beat the Seahawks, and I do like, you know, the quarterback because he can scramble.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, John Wolford. I said this year it was the first time that I watched Jared Goff and Sean McVay. It was the first time that I thought, I'm not sure if this is a good fit. McVay likes to roll the pocket constantly. Goff's not a running quarterback. He's kind of your classic sit-in-the-pocket quarterback. And then I watched John Wolford, and I'm like, that feels like more stylistically what Sean McVay wants. Do you think it's possible? I watched the body language of McVay this year, that deep down we may have a problem in the next year or two. Goff and McVay, they just don't fit each other stylistically on what they can do or what they want to do.
Well, look, McVay inherited Jared Goff. He didn't draft him. That wasn't the guy that he said, okay, this is the guy. Well, this is the guy I'm willing to give up two number one draft picks for. I mean, when you look at it, you're right. I think McVay is an offensive mind, great offensive mind, but his quarterbacks have been mobile. I mean, the days of the drop back quarterback are over. If you can't run and throw the football and really roll the pocket and be a threat to run, it's going to be hard to be successful in the National Football League. You look at Deshaun Watson. You look at Jason Herbert. You look at the young quarterbacks. These guys, Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson has always been that threat of running and throwing. If you can't do that, it's going to be hard to be successful in the NFL now because these defenses, they're smart. They can run also, but if you have a quarterback that can run. So me personally, I feel like this guy, John Wolford, is more of a McVay-type quarterback. Now, is he the guy that's going to take us to the promised land? I'm not saying that. He only played one football game. But in that one game, you know, and just take away the one interception, and that's what it was. I mean, I know he's nervous because everyone has the nerves going to a game if you've never played before. He played a great game. I mean, I think he executed McVay's plan, offensive plan, very well.
Yep.
And I think McVay kept saying, I'm comfortable with him. I trust him. And that's the big thing. He says, I trust him.
Yeah. Finally, so I didn't love what Doug Peterson did, pulling a starting quarterback in a winnable game. You just tell me as a player, what would be your feeling if you, in week 17, if a coach did that to your offense and your team?
I'd have been pissed. I mean, I think it showed a lot of the players, some of the players wanted to go up to him and they had to be restrained. I mean, because let me tell you something, man. It's hard to win in the NFL. You don't care if it's the last game, the first game. When you're playing a football game, you're laying it all on the line. You know, you're getting hit, you're getting hurt, you're getting beat up. And what for? Not to lose. You know, you don't want to give up. Even if it's the last game of the season, you want to win that football game. If that would have said if I was playing that game, and he'd have pulled me out, and I'm like, why? Well, you know, because it's the last. No, I mean, we're trying to win. It's you know, the thing about in sports, especially the National Football League, Colin, it's all about wins and losses. They don't care how you get them or when they come. It's all about wins and losses. And I think he really did his players and the Philadelphia city and also the organization is disservice by not really playing Hurts in that football game. And they could have won that game. I mean, I thought they could have. When they went up for it on fourth down, I'm like, why are they doing this? Why not tie the game up and try to go into overtime?
Yeah, no, I felt the same way. Did any coach ever try to take you out of a game?
Yeah, they took me out a few games, but, you know, the game was over and I wanted more yards. Like, when I had the 2,000-yard season that we played up in San Francisco, and, man, I could have got some more. Yeah, John said, nah, you're done. I'm like, oh, my God. And we played New Orleans the same year, the 2,000-yard season. I had 175 yards. And he said, you're done. I'm like, just a couple more plays. He said, nope, you're done. Oh, that'd be frustrated.
Yeah, I get it. You look great as always, Eric Dickerson, the Hall of Famer. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you, Colin.
Yeah, I think the bet of the weekend, Rams +4.5, Fox bet, and Steelers -5. I already bet that game. I got a -4. It's now
5.5.
5.5. So, listen, if you're Cleveland, if you win, it's Mardi Gras. But if you don't, if I'd have told you before the year, Baker Mayfield makes the playoffs, and that's it. It's not going to end well. I always tell my wife that. When we have a bad day, I always say, 10 years ago, if I'd have said, this is our big problem,
would you take it?
Would you take the problem? If you'd have told Cleveland fans, you'll make the playoffs. every single one would have signed up. So if you get rolled 34-10, who cares?
Yeah, I think it's a great season regardless. All the pressure's on the Steelers.
All the pressure now is on the Steelers, especially with Stefanski out. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I love watching Eric Dickerson highlights.
First of all, you can almost tell Hall of Famers because even if they played today, they would be big and fast. Like it wouldn't. Wilt Chamberlain today would be big and athletic. Eric Dickerson looked like a defensive end. I mean, look how big he is. This is in the 70s.
It's so fun to watch. I know. And he
80s.
Just looks.
Look how fast he is.
So big. Terrifying. I don't know. I feel bad for defensive backs sometimes. Like, it just, that's rough. That's a tough position to play. I don't want to tackle him.
Well, it's a tough division if you have to tackle that. But, I mean, look how broad he is. Look
I
how,
know. No, he looks like a defensive lineman.
He's 6'4", 240, and he's the fastest guy in the field.
It's amazing. So Teddy Bridgewater did not find the success he was hoping for in his first year as a Panthers starter. His inconsistency has also brought up questions about whether he'll be keeping that starting job. And he was asked about the possibility of Carolina drafting a quarterback next year.
And I understand business is business, but, you know, that doesn't affect me. You know, I just train every day like, man, it's mine. I just have to control what I control, which is how hard I work, the type of leader that I am, the amount of time and work that I put in this offseason. You know, this is my team, and I'm going to continue to conduct myself that way.
So the Panthers have the 8th pick in the draft. As Bucky said earlier, this is something that is a very serious conversation in Carolina about whether they're going to draft a quarterback. What I'm trying to figure out is where they're finding these quarterbacks that everybody plans on drafting.
Well, because the Jags and Jets will draft one. At least Atlanta or Detroit, one of those two is drafting one. So that's three out. So they probably get the 4th best quarterback, which I think is Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson. And the kid from North Dakota that didn't play, but his YouTube video is amazing. Trey Lance is, it's YouTube. I didn't watch their games. But if you watch him, he looks a lot like Justin Fields running around. Like, he's a big, mobile kid.
I mean, maybe there's a sleeper in that 4 to, you know, 8 range of quarterbacks in this draft. How many teams on that list need one now? It seems like it's a bit of a stretch. I think they're going to have to be a little more strategic. I don't know that I would do that with the 8th pick from the Panthers.
Well, Teddy's had an injury before. You could make the argument, listen, Teddy's got 2 more years. Teddy's been hurt. We just need it because we think next year we can win. So let's.
If you feel like you're a year away, then yeah, it's probably a good move because Teddy can remain the starter and you don't have to put him out there right away, especially if you're kind of reaching for a quarterback to begin with.
So Teddy's, I think we've said this, it's very Alex Smith.
Right.
Is that.
There's limitations.
But mentor, winning games.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if you feel like you're reaching for a quarterback at that position, which you probably will be.
Then go get a great defensive player. Keep building your defense up.
Yeah. They went all defense last year, so you might want to get some offensive pieces as well. So the Cowboys will be working again to get Dak Prescott signed to a long-term deal, and Jerry Jones thinks Dak is in a great position during contract negotiations.
I don't know how you could have any more leverage. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect pitcher. And he has great ability in my mind to win games. He's talented. He certainly has experience. And so he has all the things, as substantiated by what we've offered Dak. You wouldn't be offering Dak what's been offered him in the past had you not thought he was very special.
Yeah, he does have leverage.
He has lots of leverage, especially after the way that the season ended.
And his teammates love him, and that's a big deal.
Fans love him.
In the room.
Teammates love him. He's at the top in terms of contracts for the Cowboys, Stephen Jones said. If the Cowboys use a franchise tag on Dak again in 2021, it will cost them $37.68 million.
See, this is the one thing, though, and I know this will ring hollow, but if I'm Dak Prescott, I know that I'm going to get endorsements I would never get in Dallas. I know that if I take slightly less, I have better teammates. I know that. I mean, I know this sounds crazy. There's no state tax. You can buy an unbelievable home in Dallas for $2 million. You couldn't even get land in Los Angeles for that. Land in New York. You couldn't get a parking spot. But in Dallas for $2.5 million, $3 million, you get an acre. You get a spread. If you took like 29 to 30, instead of 38. That's a starting corner. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but there's so much. I always felt D-Wade in Miami. So D-Wade got Pat Riley. It's the only East Coast free agent market that anybody wants to play in. You got a great owner. There was value in a salary cap sport for D-Wade taking a little less so I can get Shaq and I can get Gary Payton. And I think it's that's what, you know, because bottom line is one of the reasons D-Wade is a legend is because he was in so many playoff games right. And so many finals. And I'm not telling Dak to take some massive pay cut, but if I was Dak, and as an agent, you could never tell anybody this, but if I was Dak, I'm thinking, as long as you guaranteed me you'd spend the money on like a free agent, I think I would take as a quarterback a little less, especially on a massive brand.
I had no problem with him gambling on himself, betting on himself last year. After the injury, after the way that the season went, after seeing what the NFC East is going to develop into, Joe Judge is there in New York. They're progressing. We don't know what's going on with Philadelphia, but Washington certainly has their defense in place. If they get a quarterback, they're a problem. You need to be aggressive now. And betting on yourself is fine, but you have the injury now. Take less. In the end, to your point, it's gonna all equal out.
Listen, if you sign a four-year deal, most of it guaranteed, you're going to make $120 million in Dallas. That isn't even, that's like making $160 million in California or New York because of taxes. Like, I don't know.
I'm not in a position to tell people to take less money.
But it does.
If I was in that situation, in Dak's situation, I would sign the long-term deal.
So that's what I would do.
Get the guaranteed money. Do a team-friendly deal on the back end. You're going to get another contract eventually. We see how the quarterback market and how the free agency market for quarterbacks is now. Never before in the history of the NFL were quarterbacks moving around the way that they are now.
Yeah.
So you'll likely get another contract. I think the injury changed things. He does have all the leverage based off of the way the season ended and Andy Dalton performed. But I think that they will end up working something out, and it won't be another franchise tag situation. So John Elway has announced that he will step down as Broncos general manager, but will remain in his role as team president. So Denver will hire a new GM who will have full authority to oversee the personnel and football department. Both the new GM and coach Vic Fangio will report to Elway. So Drew Locke's fate will fall to the next GM, and Fangio, as Elway told reporters, that the quarterback's future and other roster decisions will not be dictated to the new hire. Vic Fangio said Drew Locke can be the starter in 2021, but needs to improve. So this is kind of a drastic move for Denver.
Well, being a general manager is hard. It's a grinder's job. I don't like celebrity general managers. John is a very successful businessman who's got a lot of tentacles and a lot of businesses. I think this is the right move to get a grinder that I've never heard of to be GM.
I think it is too. Having final say of personnel is a very big job. It's a very big responsibility, and they want to get things in place. They're in a very tough division. Hire somebody who can focus solely on putting together the team. He's going to run the organization, which is a very respected, well-run organization to begin with, and leave it on Fangio and the GM.
Yep. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
Multiple-time Pro Bowler, part of the Bills' great defense now, which has gotten better every week. Josh Norman, the Pro Bowl cornerback, joins us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, Josh Norman, great player down in Carolina, and one of the coaches on that staff was Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator. McDermott goes to Buffalo, gets the head coaching job, calls Josh Norman, says, get up here. We got something good going. And Josh Norman used to work with us at Fox, now is joining us live from Buffalo. I believe, and I've said it for a month, the best team in the NFL. So let's start with this. You've been to a Super Bowl. You've been in the playoffs. Half of your roster or more has not. You got some young kids. What have you told the younger players about the difference between a regular season game and the playoffs, Josh?
It's go time. It really is go time. It's a different mindset. You know, coming into the playoffs is taking another notch up from where you playing in the regular season. So obviously everything is much more heightened. This is literally where legends are, you know, born and made during this time. You've cemented a lot of things in the playoffs, And so therefore you have to take it that much more pressing in your details and your approach to your assignments.
So you'd seen Josh Allen, and then you come up to Buffalo, and when he first broke into the league, he was a little wild. He was, you know, a big kid running around, and all of a sudden this year, wow. When was the first player, the first moment, maybe it was early in the season, that you watched Josh Allen and you were facing him in practice or something, and you thought, oh, wow, this kid is something special?
Just seeing his arm, you know, coming in from the draft, I think just watching him and how he was able to sling the ball. I mean, the guy has got a cannon and releases so quick. So it's almost like it's like a dart, like zing. But, you know, watching him from afar and then coming into the building and seeing how he approached the game, he's just getting better and better every year. And this year, he just went off. You add a guy like, you know, Diggs and Smoke and, you know, Cole Beasley in the slot, and see what you can do. And he has those weapons now, and I'm talking about gunslinging the ball everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see. It really is. It's a beauty.
You know, Josh, you've always been the guy that you have to go out and guard the best receiver. So there's a lot of good receivers. There's small guys who are quick. There's big guys who are physical. There's fast guys. Stephon Diggs is probably the best receiver this morning in the NFL. So what makes him great? Why is he hard to defend? What separates him from guys you've guarded?
His craft. He's a craftsman of his work. Very meticulous and detailed in how he sets his opponents up. I mean, his steps are just like crossovers. And it's like he's playing basketball out there on the football field. he's very twitchy, very twitchy. And he's deceptive speed. Like the guy can fly. Like he believes he is the fastest guy on the field that day. Whether you want to think that or not, how he plays is definitely not his time. On his 40-yard dash, I bet he's faster than what he ran. I guarantee you that, because he's electric every time he, you know, touches the ball. I mean, he set the fenders up, and he's so much so gracious of the awards that he is going to be receiving this year, and he has so far, breaking all these records. I'm just glad to be a part of, you know, the team with this guy. I'm going against him kind of every day and doing different mirror drills and stuff. He's very much so impressive in his approach to the game and every time he steps on the field.
You know, you were with Washington, and there was a lot of chaos. Washington's a noisy franchise. There's a lot of stuff happening, ownership. And then you go to Buffalo, and it's a small city, and it's quiet, and McDermott's quiet. You never hear him. And, you probably as a kid never thought, I'm going to love playing in Buffalo. But you're a perfect fit. It works. I mean, are you surprised that you ended up in Buffalo?
You know, I always said that this would be the last team I'll ever complain for. I would not thought I would be here. It's cold. Nobody likes the cold. But it's almost like you make plans for yourself and God laughs at them.
Right.
Yahweh finds a way to laugh at those plans, because look at me now. I'm in the last place I thought I would be in Buffalo, but it has truly turned out to be one of the best places I've ever been. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here. I'm honestly like saying that because it's true. I mean, it's a lot of hidden gems here in Buffalo. And when you sit back here and you look at it all and how much we've been able to help the community with the Buffalo Business Blitz we're doing out here, helping the small businesses and just going around and, you know, getting the warmth from the people and how excited they are about this football team. It's something to actually live in and go through during this time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the future and going forth of what this team has and what it has to offer. So it's been great.
Finally, you are favored over the Colts. Do you worry at all that the team, Buffalo, you'll be a little tight? You're the favorite. You're supposed to win. How do you keep the team loose? Because loose teams are confident teams in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Just because you're favorite, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. We have to play the game. And we have to go out there and put our best foot forward. I mean, you go back to what DC says. He always come out there, Les Frazier out of DC. What's the most important game of the week this week? It's this game. This one. Not last week. Not the week we looking down. No, it's this week. And so we have to take care of our business. We have to go through the proper steps each and every day of getting our work done. And then when the Sunday comes or Saturday, which is this week, we have to go out there and put on a show. And I always like to say the Sunday best, but we're going to have to put on our Saturday's best because we really have a good team that's coming into this stadium, and they're going to put on their best effort because I'm hearing, I know they're hearing a lot of noise and talking about how good we are and how this, and but nobody's really giving them that, you know, props and prior praise at this point. But that's when those people come in and that opponent, and they have an upset, and we don't feel like that is going to happen because of how we approach the game. But we always got to have that key in the back of our heads, like, hey, we got to take care of us and not worry about nothing else.
Josh Norman, Pro Bowler, decade in the NFL. Good luck. I think you're part of the best team in the NFL. You're on fire. It is nice to win in the NFL. It just makes life a little smoother, driving to work a little easier. It's good seeing you again, man. Congratulations.
Oh, man. Thanks, Kyle, man. It absolutely makes life a whole lot better out here. Definitely in this weather. Yeah. I love it, though.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
You
yes,
bet.
Sir.
By the way, they are a Hail Mary pass. They lost at Arizona on a Hail Mary pass. I watched that game, and they outplayed Arizona, but Arizona won on a Hail Mary. They're a Hail Mary from, I think, 10-0 in their last 10 games. They are. Here's a stat for you. Whether being hot matters or not, this is an unbelievable stat. Not that I'm a stat guy. The Bills have outgained their opponents by 166 yards over the last month. That is, you don't understand that. That is like Seattle's throwing for less than that a game. That's 170 yards a game, football field and a half over a professional football team. And it's not like they played all bad teams down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't know how much being hot going into the playoffs matters because we've seen teams lose.
Are you healthy?
Playoffs hot. Are you healthy? But I do think going into the playoffs hot keeps you from having to make major adjustments, fix
yes.
things.
Right.
You can just focus on the game plan and the team at hand. So I think that kind of, you know, that plays a role in if you're winning going into the playoffs.
Go the extra mile. Your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Fox Sports Radio is having their ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. Go to foxsportsradio.com by January 24th. Also, the supplement I take every morning, M-Drive, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, gives you lean muscle, energy, backed by science, powerful ingredients. MDriveForMen.com. Check it out today. Speak for yourself is around the corner. Peter King, Jed Fish, the new Arizona coach, Josh Norman, Eric Dickerson, Bucky Brooks. Good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow. It's The Herd.